My name's Sean Collier. I'm here with Aaron Kleiber.
Boom. Bingo.
Back at the Scare House for our annual trip to the Scare House.
Yay!
With many Scare House people. Make Scare House noises, everyone.
What does that mean?
See? It's creepy already.
I like that.
We just went through the basements.
Yeah.
As we do every year.
I still have my makeup on. You do not.
Yeah. I clean myself up.
My face still smells like 40 hands.
Right. And a smelly, sweaty mask.
Yeah.
And we're going to dive behind the scenes of that smelly, sweaty mask this week on You Can't Handle
smelly,
the Truth.
Smelly, sweaty mask.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, October 14th. 2016. And it's our annual trip to the basement, Aaron.
Yeah, this is, we like doing the Scare House basement and the Scare House because it is a living movie.
Yeah. It's not, we're not breaking format.
No.
And not talking about a movie this week because that's
we're
what
living
just
a horror
happened.
Film. My favorite thing is to watch horror films all of October, and if you can live a horror film one of those nights, it's spectacular, and it has to be at Scare House.
And we're joined by frequent guest, Scott Simmons. Scott, approach and take my microphone while Aaron interviews you, because we have only two microphones.
Still in basement mode here. I'm waiting for something terrible to happen when this happens.
Why? What do you mean terrible happen?
I don't know.
Are we still going on?
Yeah.
Am I
going to be electrocuted? Yes.
This is still the basement.
This is the most customized version of the basement ever.
You take people upstairs and put them on a podcast, and then it goes horribly awry. That sounds like a terrible, terrible movie plot that's being developed right now.
Yes.
So, Scott, take us behind. You went full clown this year.
I did. They tell you never to go full clown, but we went for it. And we decided to go full clown even before all the clowns started showing up in the woods and things. So
score one
for us.
For capitalizing on a bullshit media panic
without
even trying.
Yes.
Well, is it safe to assume there are no clowns and this is just like 2020 run amok?
Or like a whole War of the Worlds kind of thing. Like there were a couple of them, and now it's just popping up everywhere.
Killer clowns. Yeah, no, that's what it was. There was probably two sightings ever.
Right.
And then people keep saying there's more. I mean, if someone says there's a clown pulling kids in a sewer, then we have to be concerned.
Well, do you know what actually happened to completely derail immediately? You know our friend Frank Mergia?
Yes.
He had a clown at the end of his driveway. A couple of weeks ago, looked out of his front window, and there was a guy dressed as a clown standing at the end of his driveway. And he lost his shit, but eventually had the strength to go out and be like, what? And it was like a teenager, like, oh, we're filming a thing. And they were.
Wow.
And they were.
I would have threw a goddamn hatchet at him.
Right.
And they were, but if you're going to do that, tell the neighbors.
Yeah.
Fill everyone in on your plans before you are clown standing at the end of someone's driveway.
So we allowed to call them clowns? Mm-hmm. We have clowns here,
yes.
Right?
Scott, give the basic premise of this year's basement first and how you arrived at it.
Well, the funny thing is, so basement, this is our fourth year of doing the basement and not counting some of the one-offs and some of the special events we've done. And the last few productions of the basement had been really getting more and more into immersive theater. And I mean, I think people who listen to the podcast know, but I'll skim through it real quick. Basement is the more sort of atomic hot wing version of Scare House. It's R-rated. R-rated. You have to be over 18. You have to sign a waiver. There's extreme content, physical contact, touching, hooding, etc. And hooding is a verb. That's
hooding.
Right. Yes.
Hooding people up.
And, it is influenced by a lot of immersive theater, a lot of things like It's Sleep No More, but still very sort of, I've said before, upstairs Scare House is very pretty, very much like, if we're using movie references, upstairs is like Guillermo del Toro, Sam Raimi. downstairs is like, David Lynch, I've been at this party too long. It's 3 a.m. It's about to get, you know, it's yes. it's the firecracker scene in Boogie Nights of like, oh, I shouldn't be here. Or
yes.
the end of Blue Velvet. So the last couple productions of Basement were getting, I was really proud of them. They were getting very intricate and very immersive. And I think that Basement is always sort of has this balance between being a little bit more highfalutin, a little bit more sort of interactive and immersive and dealing with things, but it's also got to be scary, and it's also got to have that sort of primal thing that people go to haunted houses or go to extreme cases to have, where it's like, I'm going to go in a cave and I'm going to see the bear. So, or in this case, see the clown.
Right.
So,
yeah, that was crazy when you had a live bear down there.
We did.
That really upped
we
the
did.
Stakes.
Yes. All true.
Yeah.
But we decided, like, let's go all clown. Let's have a happy birthday party for Happy the
there
Clown.
There she is.
Yeah. And Happy the Clown was part of Basement in year one. So we thought it would be fun to give Happy her own birthday party.
I was running through pictures in my old phone, and I have a picture with you two, and I was laying in a hotel room at like 3 a.m, like cleaning pictures out of my phone, and it was just like, rim, and I was like, holy shit. Like, cause it was like your face.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It was your face is in it. So you did scare me in a hotel room in Michigan, I think. That's really good.
And when I learned that the basement was Happy's birthday, and we'll talk to Happy in a moment, when I learned that the basement was Happy's birthday, I was instantly terrified.
Yeah.
Because I'm still traumatized by Happy year one, like in a very like visceral, like, oh my God, I am not in control of my own existence anymore kind of a way.
I was happy. It was just like, oh, happy everywhere. This is spectacular.
Yeah.
So for people who might not necessarily know what it's like in the basement, if Aaron and I could try to, Happy, could you just say hello to Sean, and Aaron and I will just try to.
Hi. How did you enjoy your party, Happy?
Oh, you ruined it.
Wow. What did I do?
You know what you did. You're a bad boy.
I'm back in the experience,
you're a bad
everyone.
Boy.
Yeah, this is, and it's full physical contact, mm-hmm. and it's horrifying.
I'm still in the doghouse with Happy for inadequate ponying.
Yeah, I didn't know what. I was like, pony? I thought I was getting, like, what? Yeah, don't mess up the pony. Don't mess up the ponying.
Well, what about him? Did he ruin it?
I did.
He doesn't know how to giddy up. It's my birthday. I want a pony.
Yeah, don't ruin the ponying. Ponying, pudding. Yeah, the Scare House creates all kinds of words.
We create all kinds of things.
Pudding.
Somewhere, would some creature that exists between Happy and Bonnie please give some degree of Happy's backstory?
Of Happy's backstory? Yeah. I can't talk in normal voice. I can only talk in clown voice.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think that creature existed. It's like,
you sound like you were summoning something.
Right.
I started getting really nervous. I'm like,
No, the first year when I came to audition, I auditioned for makeup, and I had a clown dress, so I came with my makeup done, and that's just what I had, so I came as a clown. And then they actually didn't hire me for the basement, but then they decided to throw somebody extra in at the last second, and I ended up downstairs.
And who is Happy to you?
I'm happy.
I know. No, yes.
I'm happy.
I know, but what?
At this point now, you've lived as Happy for so long, it's got to have this whole other, like, happy realm in your head.
Happy is me, though. I mean, they sure gave me a lot of freedom to kind of, they gave me awesome, wonderful, amazing guidance, but let me kind of develop the character myself, so it is kind of an extension of myself.
Yeah, that kind of works for a lot of entertainers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sure. But that's kind of creepy.
I don't go there.
Yeah, no, that's
myself. And we're also joined by Trixie. Hi. Hi, Trixie.
Hello.
And what's Trixie's relationship to Happy?
We're best friends.
Okay.
She's my friend.
Yeah. Could you two work this out now? Because I feel like it was kind of unresolved earlier. So if you two could get this sorted
She's my friend.
I'm Happy's best friend.
Pretty Happy's best friend. Clear cut.
Yeah. You're not going to come between us.
No. I'm curious about how that
friendship works. You know, every friendship has a different dynamic. And how does it work with the two of you?
I don't know when they're really laughing.
We can't talk about that.
Is this an R-rated podcast?
It is.
Or is this, okay.
Yeah.
We have the explicit tag and everything.
Yeah. We blew that on episode 3.
Dead air.
Trixie's my friend. She's wonderful and fabulous, and I love her.
Aw. And I just really admire Happy and what she does, and I think she's just so fucking talented, and I'm just... Yeah.
This is the best. Yeah. You ever think we were going to have a dating game for clowns?
So I was in basement... Trixie, this is Trixie talking. Mm-hmm. I was in basement year 1 and year 2, as was Happy, and we both skipped year 3. Mm-hmm. Not for reasons relating to each other, just because mm-hmm. that's how life worked. And then, so this year... she wanted to come back and I wanted to come back, and they told me I was going to be Happy's friend. Mm. And we sort of just knew we were going to have a scene together, and we just kind of worked out what that meant to be Happy's friend, and what we discussed, so many discussions and Facebook messages and texts about different elements that we wanted to bring to the scene for the guest. you know, because the basement isn't about just scaring people. It's about provoking or evoking and making people uncomfortable, making them think about things, surprising them, you know, things of that nature. So there are a lot of different elements in our scene that are designed to make you kind of squirmy a little bit, you know, like I'll bet you'll be thinking about how you couldn't giddy up today, you know, like
just make sure you know how to giddy up.
Just make sure you know how to giddy up. Yeah. And things like that.
And still mixing, just like we do upstairs, still mixing humor and horror, and yes. taking a lot of what I really enjoy, especially with the scene that Happy and Trixie do, is I speak good, I speak great, is that it's constant, it's constantly going, it thinks that you're going down one path, and then it'll just take a complete turn and go the other way, and you can see people. Like behind their eyes are like, I'm feeling 3 radically different things right now, and they're trying to sort of sort it out loud.
It's funny, and I try not to laugh when it's funny, just because I'm like, I don't want to provoke anybody. You know, if I laugh, because I mean, even in the distance, you hear people yelling, you think that's fucking funny? And I'm like, I'm not laughing at nothing. Yeah. Nothing. Not going to laugh. But it is very funny. There are a lot of very funny moments.
It is. And the scene you have, I mean, when the victim is sitting there, to me,
no spoilers.
No, but to me, it's like these two clowns are either going to have the best party ever, have sex with each other, or murder each other. And whichever one it is, it's going to be my fault. That's.
And you're assuming it's only going to be one of those 3?
It's actually going to be all of them, maybe at the same
time. At the same time.
But both of you, this being audio, people can't see. You're both diminutive females, and is that fair?
I don't know what that means.
You're using big words.
You're short and tiny.
Yeah.
Oh.
Petite, and both year one especially, and now it's the thing that impresses me about both of your performances is. Holy shit, you are in charge. Yeah. Like, I have no control over this situation, because no matter who, it could be a linebacker for the Steelers could walk in there, and you two are going to be completely in control of them.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, you know, it's not something that I'm into all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a big guy. Yeah, well. But no, really, that is kind of a fascinating thing that does make it kind of terrifying. Because you have this kind of role reversal, and role reversals are, I mean, that's why people are afraid of clowns, right? It's something that's supposed to be nice and beautiful. See, I learned a bunch.
Yeah, well, and that fits right into the Scarehouse positioning of no helpless female victims. In fact, it's more often than not the female characters who are in charge.
Right.
And that's, it's been that way from the beginning. And the basement, especially this year with Happy's birthday, we're really leaning into that hard.
Right. But with physically or mentally or performance wise, how do you do that?
Well, let's ask the third person
There's another basement actor, Tom, who has been involved in many facets of the Scarehouse over the years, and many other, has been involved in the improv community, and I was disappointed not to see you at the Rocky Horror Reunion show last weekend.
I was here, unfortunately.
You were here. How does your performance allow you to take charge like that?
There's a couple of aspects to it. The first is that if you come out and you take charge immediately, you issue commands, people are expecting to be told what to do when they come into a situation like this.
Yeah.
You know, if the guest is expecting to be told, you know, sit here, move there, or, you know, they're expecting to be asked questions. So you just take that and you amp it up to 11. Sit there, you know, when I'm a character, ask the question, I'm going to force you to give me an answer. If you're not willing to answer, I'm going to get on you and get on you and get on you and force you to do it. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, if you really don't want to do it, you always have the bunny option out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if you're really coming here to do the experience, you're going to follow the commands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why would somebody not? That's what's, why would you go to the basement and not just submit 100%?
I mean, I didn't do that one thing. Is that a spoiler?
No, don't say it. Don't say it.
There's that one thing that
you didn't, and I did the thing.
And I'm glad you did, and I didn't, because
I was like, I'm in.
That's an actual. Ask me later on the street if you see me, listener. But like, I if it were down to that, I might have to bunny. Like, if it were not an option, I might have
really?
To.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
Well, and this is what we designed it to be like, so you can have these kinds of conversations. Because I know sometimes when people hear what we're doing down here and they think, oh, it sounds, we don't want people to say the safe word.
Right.
We want people to go through this experience.
Oh, we didn't explain that in this episode. Yeah. Bunny is the safe word. If you can't take it anymore, you can yell bunny and be escorted out.
Bunnying out.
Yeah.
Another scare house.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are a few other of these sort of so-called extreme experiences. And from what I've heard and what I've seen, I think they tend to treat them almost like hazing. It's almost like, come on, say the word, and making really unpleasant and nasty. Yeah. And again, a lot of testosterone, like, can you handle it? Like,
that's what a lot of you hear about other places that have done that, right? I mean, that's what they kind of do. But this is immersive theater.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah. Extreme immersive theater, I guess you could call it.
If I can get into a little theater theory here.
Theater theory podcast.
Yes. When I was training in acting, one of the concepts that we always talked about is called metaxis, which is the overmind. And in this case, what we're doing is we're putting that onto our guests instead of onto the actors. So when you're going through the basement, you can be as immersed in that experience as you want, because somewhere in the back of your head, there's still that little controlling voice that says, if all else fails, I can yell bunny and I can get out of here.
Yeah.
That gives you more freedom to be involved. Whereas if you're in one of these houses that's extreme and doesn't have a way out for you, you're going to be panicking. You're not going to be having a theatrical experience. You're going to be, you know, probably having a very miserable experience unless you're really into pain.
Yeah.
You know, we give you a way to get out specifically so you can get even more involved.
And to be clear, especially this year, the basement is fun. Like, you have to be comfortable. You have to be someone who's comfortable with a lot of physical contact with strangers. You have to be
I want to wet nap my face really bad
right
now. People are like, what's the worst part of the basement? And I'm like, 50 hands on my face.
Yeah.
Well, that's 100% my worst. That's the worst part about it.
If we can ask, are we I don't know if we should use names, but do we want to use names? Do we want to reveal the name of Trixie? So, Jen, who plays Trixie, you can talk about that, because just being a performer down there has sort of changed your level of comfort with physicality of strangers and people.
Yeah. Wait, sorry. No, yeah, people. No, I never really got comfortable with people touching my face.
Oh, I don't
but,
like it.
Yeah,
I don't like it at all. I'm wet napping my face right
like
now.
No, I don't. I don't really like to be touched. And year one basement, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not gonna last. But it's because I do have all the power. Because you did sign a waiver, I get to touch you, and you can't touch me.
It is different like that, isn't it? I mean, you kind of because you're. It's your permission.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
We have no say in it.
But in my normal life, I guess we should say, like right. I've become.
This isn't your normal life.
No. Outside of Scarehouse, we'll right. say mm-hmm. it that way. Right. I've become far more comfortable with invading people's personal space,
or
if they're invading mine, even. I feel like I'm prepared to deal with that. But yeah, I don't like my face touched either. I feel your pain.
It's the worst part about it.
But, I didn't touch your face.
But I did all the things too.
You did do all the things.
I did all the
Good
things.
For you.
And that's what the worst part
do
about
we have
it was.
A gold star for him? Because he did all the things.
Does Happy have a gold star? Gold star air quotes.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm using that as a credit now.
But yeah, if you can take the physical contact, and if you can take allusions to some serious shit, it's a fun experience.
Yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Want to give anyone the idea that it's you're paying money to be miserable, because it's a good
time.
Yeah,
a lot of people think that it's like, oh, they're just going to torture you, make you like crawl around like a dog. No, it's not. I defend Scarehouse all the time when I tell people where to go. Yeah, and I'm like, no, that's not. It is not your frat boy hazing.
No,
it is not at all.
And it's also basement changes extensively every year. You know,
the
Scarehouse, proper Scarehouse changes a lot, but basement is really, this year I think it's probably 90, 95%. I mean, it's all new characters, new concepts. And for that, look at this expert segue I'm about to do. That was really beneficial working with Crystal Rupp over here, Director of Operations.
Yay!
Crystal managed basement 2 years ago.
She knows how to do everything.
Knows how to
I've
do
witnessed
everything.
It.
Yeah. And I think this year, because Sean was asking, you know, how did this whole concept came up? And I think I just gave you some of the bullet points, and that, well, you can explain, and then you sort of ran with it.
Yeah. So we kind of got to a point where we had to figure out what was going on with the basement and really get things going down there with that. And Scott said, how about we do Happy's birthday party? And we're going to get Brink.
What?
All right.
No, we'll bleep it.
Yeah, we'll bleep it. Figure out where that was on the recording.
All right. 22:35.
All right.
I'm sorry. I didn't get the warning ahead of time. I apologize.
It's okay. Hey, we don't work here.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
All right. Yeah.
I like that.
Fail.
I like that there'll be that bleep and everyone will be like, whoa.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Oh, now you don't know what she said.
Yeah. Mm.
They're bringing back who?
Who's down there? And so we were sort of given the basic premise.
Elijah Wood. He's in every night.
He's in every
He's back there.
Elijah Wood, if you want to come and work for us, we would be happy to have you every night, all the time. But I went camping in the woods, which is very appropriate for all the crazy clownness that's happening right now, and just sort of sketched out in my mind, like, what happens at a birthday party? Who do you run into? There's always that, like, cranky relative that's unhappy about a party happening, or is like so old, doesn't even know what's happening. Then there's entertainers, there's people that are still setting up and decorating, there are party guests that may or may not be there because of their, you know, of their own free will, and there are games that you play. So we sort of took all those concepts and sort of stretched them out and created these basic guidelines for scenes. And then our actors are just absolutely phenomenal, along with our basement manager, Ryan. And they really took that skeleton and fleshed it out and made it the fantastic show that it is. Because it is all improv. It is all them creating and really taking ownership of the characters this year and, you know, giving it their all and being absolutely fantastic and amazing actors that they are. The basement really is all about opening yourself up, leaning in, getting into those experiences, and giving yourself over to these characters and the world that they create.
Can we show a lot of the performances carry it? And there are moments where I pull out of being terrified to just be like, wow, this is a really good bit of acting right now.
I think I do that a little more than you do, because that's kind of how I go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm just so desensitized. I've had a terrible childhood.
Right.
So I can walk through the entire haunt and be like, dude, look at that lighting.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like creeping around the corner, but I'm like, this is amazing. Yeah. Like, I love seeing all of just, I mean, I look at it as like the amazing set that it is, mm-hmm. or the acting. And that's what you get. I get caught up in the basement. It's like all the acting. You're sitting there like, this is, I just like staring at you ladies and you, sir. I just in my head, I'm like, this is so good.
And like, shout
they're
out,
so good at this.
I don't know the person. I don't think whoever played Maggie too. Oh, yeah.
Very good.
What's her name? So she gets some credit.
Madison.
She that was I'm not going to spoil it, but that was a moment where I was
that was
like,
the thing.
Wow, she's just great.
Yeah,
at
she was
doing
very good.
This. Yeah.
It was really good.
Low to high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually, I thought it might have been one of you two. I thought it might have been you. I know, like, because I'm like, there. Have I seen her before? She's really good. I'm like trying to get a look at her.
Well, and this is one of the things I love about Basement in particular, that some of the most impactful and intense performers down there do not fit the stereotype of, oh, you know, there's a big, giant, scary guy. Like, you know, they, like you say, she is another petite woman, but she's able to just get into the physicality of it.
She's not petite, but she's definitely she's
yeah, she's tall.
Yeah,
slim. Slim is the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Can we? I'm curious to hear, because I'm not afraid of clowns, except Happy. It is
that, but it's that. They have that thing where you have no idea
she's
when
here.
They're going to...
She's here again. It's happening.
They have... I mean, it's happening.
It's happening.
Like, you hear that, and you...
Okay, I'm scared. Now I'm afraid of clowns.
But it's like, at any second, it's you're like, oh, she's going to break in half.
Right.
Like it crazy. And that's what's kind of terrifying about
it. I'm not even looking at
it
right
now. You never
know. It's still going on.
What's that? Did I say a crazy? Oh, yeah. It gets a crazy.
Okay, all right, I'm back, everybody. But there are three clowns here. I'm curious, like, why do you think you're scary? Why do you think that a clown is scary? Because I never bought into that as a child.
I mean, I was scared of
I'm
Pennywise.
Not scary. I just want to be your friend.
I know you're not.
See that?
I know.
Why are clowns scary?
Why am I not scary? You don't think I'm scary?
This is what happens down there.
Yeah, no, you're scary. We're looking at you. You have to go to the basement and see how terrifying she looks.
Yeah. I think clowns are scary because it's like a cross between like a human and a doll. Like it's like a mask. And
that
it's
is
just
one
not,
or the other. Yeah.
It's just not. Not, it's like something in your primal lizard brain just goes like, no.
Like, and it's also, I've heard too, it's like, it has this human form, but it's not quite human. You know, it looks not the same as
like
you.
Like an alien
Yeah.
We should have alien clowns in the basement.
Oh my God, come on.
Room full of alien clowns.
You just have, you have
alien doll clowns.
You just have pee everywhere.
Room full of snakes. Room full of skunks. Room full of bats.
Oh, if you had a room full of snakes and had some sound going where you just heard snakes, oh my word. Mm-hmm. That would be tough.
You're
especially
my new best
with a hood on.
Oh, no, you put a hood on someone, you put them into the bed, and then the bed starts slithering.
Oh, we could do this all day.
Yeah. I have many good ideas.
Mm-hmm. Happy, why are clowns, Happy and or Bonnie, why are clowns scary to you?
Why are clowns scary? I don't know. I never really found clowns that scary. But I think it probably is something to do with like being very realistic but slightly off. Like I actually think clowns were like the mouth moves with them instead of the giant mouth is scarier because it's unpredictable there. It's like, why are they happy?
Yeah.
Tom,
are you scared of clowns?
I am not scared of clowns. I'm pretty lucky to have very few phobias, and most of them would be impossible for Scott Simmons to actually implement, because if he knows you have a phobia, he will cater to it for his amusement. Luckily, the only actual phobia I have is live moose. So,
all right.
That's fair.
Because, moose.
Yeah. Well, I have three near-death experiences because of live moose. So,
three moose encounters, everybody.
Give us number two.
Give us
number two.
The second best moose encounter.
That would be, we were out in Grand Teton.
Cliff Notes.
He's not kidding.
We were in Grand Teton National Park. It was me and my brother were out walking. I was about 12 or 13. My brother was in his 20s. And we're walking along, and my brother says, wait a minute, why is there a horse over there? Don't move. It was a mama moose.
Oh, dear.
We were 30 feet from mama moose and two calves. We walked up on them, not even realizing they were there. Mm-hmm. And we literally stood there frozen for about 5 minutes. Until Mama Moose decided it was time to walk away.
I mean, I don't know if that goes to near death, but...
Yeah, but I wouldn't go anywhere. I wouldn't move anywhere.
Oh, no. Yeah, you made the right decision. Yeah. I'm not arguing with that at all. But,
yeah. I'm not getting immersive with the moose.
No. And before we wrap up, talk about upstairs a little bit, Scott, because plenty new going on in the standard Buffalo Wing.
Yes, the standard Buffalo Wing. Yeah, so... still have the three haunts, and summoning is back, and we've added a whole bunch of new scenes and made it really intense this year. Well, I mean, it's always intense, but we found ways to add some little new surprises waiting for you in the dark. Our second haunt, like people who've been to Scarehouse, we always have sort of three experiences. The first one is always kind of creepy and atmospheric. The second one is usually the one that's the most experimental, and this year it's called Nocturnia, which is... hard to summarize quickly, but it is, if I were to try to do a line on it, it would be a black and white storybook telling of a story that's heavily influenced by Night Circus and Something Wicked This Way Comes. Like a lot of, it's not in 3D, but we're using some UV paint and some colors to really play around with the color space and do something that's very artistic and very creepy, but still has clowns. We really leaned into clowns upstairs too, as well. In fact, somebody asked us what the short version of what's new this year is: lots of clowns, lots of demons, and that's the third haunt is Infernal.
Just
where
so
I will have to say, good. I'm gonna say the third haunt this year is probably my favorite of all time, and I really like the summoning, but the man. It was so, I was walking through and just kept like, I'm the guy that sometimes talks through the movies.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm like, Sean, look at that. Look up there. Look at that. That's amazing. Look at this. Yeah. Oh, this is, oh, Sean. Like I'm his like mother-in-law. Like, oh good. This is amazing.
The backstory.
Like your old Jewish aunt talking through it.
That's our actual relationship. It's not, the backstory is good. It's basically The Conjuring. It's basically a collection of demonic and haunted items, and things have gone terribly wrong.
And because we are who we are, the idea was make this house fill it with all these demonic items and make it like the Conjuring house and treat it very straight. But then what happens if there was a live paranormal investigation and they accidentally unleashed hell? And then us being us, we said, what if they were... like,
I feel like if she sees me on the street four months from now, something horrible is going to happen.
Yeah, it depends.
I'm just, sorry,
I don't know
go
if
on.
I'd say horrible, Bob.
Go
but
on.
The idea was, what if this paranormal group was just total dude bros, like Zach Bagans, Ghost Adventures, that whole crowd, but even less qualified? So we actually created a group. We called them the Poltergeis. And us being us, of course, we came up with a theme song. We came up with videos. Some improv actors are involved. You can see those online.
The Poltergeist videos are so good, including Anter Sarah, who was on the show last week and has been involved here. And we've talked about her a million times for a million different projects of hers. What's her Dorleen?
And the funny thing
Dorleen Kaplan Horowitz?
Dorleen Kaplan Horowitz
is
the spirit, the demonologist.
I want a spin-off movie of her. And the first Scarehouse movie is going to be the Happy the Clown origin story. The second one should be Dorleen sheepishly fights monsters.
Yeah, it'll be a whole shared universe like Marvel, where like little side projects and things, and then all come together. And
don't speak this into existence and not do it, because I'm getting really excited.
My favorite part of
the Scarehouse universe, that's what I'm looking forward to now.
You guys know this as comedians, performers. There are the things you do for the larger crowd, then there are the things you do just for yourself.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Poltergeist is like, we're finding that our general fans and audience are like, yeah, I guess that's kind of funny. We think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And we just like, oh, we're doing this because.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm going to keep doing the part of the Gremlins joke that I keep doing, and I don't care if two people laugh. It's for me.
My favorite running gag is with Dorleen is we said it would be funny if nobody could ever remember her name. Mm-hmm. So it's like Dorleen, Dory. But then with as I get incredibly punchy and tired as we go through season, like I've actually not even intentionally, when I'm doing like the YouTube descriptions and things, I've misspelled the name.
Right.
So like, and like, and Anne caught it. And she said, "Was that kind of a shtick?" I'm like, "No, but I'm leaving it up now because it's even funnier if I'm misspelling it."
Yeah. But and this ends with a portal to hell being opened.
Yes.
And a convincing portal to hell exists in this building right now.
Something I've never thought I'd say.
Yeah.
It was a great portal to hell.
It's excellent.
It was so good. There's so many things in it. There's like there's some Evil Dead, there's some Blair Witch, there's some I mean it's just it's so good.
So Scarehouse is open until
October 30th. Okay. Not open on Halloween. Tickets are on sale right now at scarehouse.com.
At scarehouse.com. And if you're...
They're cheaper online. Tickets start at just $17.99. The best prices are always online.
That's true.
And if you're alive and can get to Pittsburgh, go for upstairs.
Yeah, you have to go. You have to.
If you're a little spicy, you have to go to the basement as well,
and
like we say.
Basement has been doing very well, as you could ask any of these performers who have seen some... Lots and lots of people already. Mm-hmm. It's been selling out fairly frequently. So, especially if you think you're going to go to the basement, I'd say by the time this podcast goes up, it's almost a prerequisite that if you want to go through, you pretty much got to buy online because I think we've been selling out usually within the first half hour. But
yeah, I mean, if you think about it, over the time you're open, how many people do you think go through the basement every year?
It's not by design. It's not as many as upstairs because
That's what I mean. Yeah.
So you know, like upstairs, it's groups of 4 to 6 people. Downstairs is 1 or 2, and you know, and you're in that space with all these scary characters,
right,
doing all kinds of terrible.
So it might be like 50 people a night.
It's more than that, but it's not a lot.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like in a huge city.
Yeah, they go.
They're gone, and you're the one of 1,000 people, 2,000 people that get to do it.
It is a really...
I never thought about it that way, have you?
It's a really interesting design challenge because we're doing this, this is our fourth year of the basement. You know, some folks like you guys who come out who are fans, and there's a certain level of desensitizing that, you know, you're kind of used to getting touched and moved around and everything else. But then you've also got new people coming in. So it's been that challenge of how to deliver an experience that satisfies people who maybe been... This is their fourth or fifth time, if they've done some of the other special events, but then still intense for the first people who do it. And then, just correcting against, they're whispering.
I know, they started plotting over there and said,
Sean gets all scared.
Yeah. And that's how we'll go out. I just want to hear Trixie and Happy argue about anything for as long as possible. And that's how we'll close this. Come on, No, don't do that.
No
just,
spoilers.
Just get.
But we don't like you. We don't like you. We're friends. Why would you say that? Why would you try to make us fight?
Yeah, Sean's trying to get you guys to argue, and I told him he should not do that.
What sort of sick shit are you into?
What's wrong with you?
Want to see girls fight?
Because it's.
You think we're here for your entertainment?
Trying to break up your friendship like an asshole.
You always talk to your friends that way.
Nope. Yeah, turn it on him for a goddamn minute.
You're both turning on each other. I don't want to be friends with either of them.
I don't. Well, I kind of do.
You do?
Yeah, well, because they're nice.
Be friends with them?
No, but not more than you. But I love you.
But Trixie, you're my friend.
I know, we're best friends.
Well,
I
love maybe you. We can just play with them a little. Just a
little. Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.
Epicast.